I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not only have I seen some photos and some Facebook posts from friends of mine who were inside Staples Center on Monday, but I just saw this post from Daryl on our show Facebook page. Amy, I was there outside the Staples Center with my family. We watched the memorial outside on big screens. Lots of tears and sadness here in Los Angeles, here in LA. However, it was a great service, for sure. Daryl, thanks so much for letting us know that you were there. I know we do have a good California audience during these first couple of hours. And so if you want to share your thoughts with us, I would appreciate hearing from you either on our Facebook page or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227, our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, for certain, Michael Jordan's comments, because you don't get to see that side of him very often, they were very poignant. And also his comments about the crying Jordan meme, I think, got the most raucous laughter for the longest inside Staples Center. And also hearing what Sabrina Ionescu had to say, because their relationship, hers with Kobe and Gianna, was so unexpected to her. It wasn't something that she was looking for. She told the story perfectly, so I want you to hear it here in a second. But a relationship that didn't benefit Kobe at all. It didn't even benefit Gianna. She wanted to go to UConn. But it was something that Kobe wanted to do, because with his daughters, he recognized the importance of being a girl dad and supporting women's basketball and women's ventures. And he certainly raised his daughters, to the ones who are older, to believe that they can do anything that they want to do. You could see that confidence reflected with Gianna, with Gigi. So really appreciated that, and the fact that he did have these friendships that weren't based on what he could get from them. They weren't celebrities. They were people that he wanted to help and people he wanted to pour into, and I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, a side of Kobe Bryant we didn't see when he was playing, and it didn't exist as much when he was playing. Really, it was his injuries late in his career, coming into touch with his own sports mortality and recognizing that he wasn't going to be the Black Mamba forever. He could take that mentality forward with him, but he wasn't going to be the Black Mamba forever. And it to me, brought a human side and a human element to the forefront that we hadn't seen before that. And that was when I really started to like Kobe Bryant, where I hadn't before. I didn't like how he carried himself on the basketball court. Certainly you admire his talents and his skills and his abilities and what he was able to do, but I liked him as a person. Once we saw him toward the end of his career, when he was human, when he wasn't invincible, and then being that husband and that dad and that friend and that supporter and that businessman and the writer and the film producer, those were all elements of Kobe Bryant that I'm really glad we had a chance to see, that I had a chance to see before his passing a month ago. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Miami. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I thought The ceremony was done pretty well. I thought that Shaq, especially, and I think the biggest, besides Vanessa, obviously, she was outstanding in the way she was able to compose herself during these trying times and giving the great anecdotes about Kobe and Gigi. I thought she was amazing. Besides that, though, Shaq giving the great anecdotes and about the great stories about him and Kobe battling. And then I thought Jordan, he's one of the biggest icons in the world, and he really doesn't speak publicly. So to bring him out, it really means a lot to what Kobe meant to him and him as a little protege and how they would talk of business and life and basketball. So I thought the ceremony was about as well as you can do. And beside the performances, Beyonce and then the Christina Aguilera sing "All Maria" in Italian. So you couldn't ask a better way to send out Kobe and Gigi throughout that whole ceremony. But do you think this inspires the Lakers team going forward in terms of trying to honor his memory, winning a championship back in L.A.?
If they needed any more motivation, I'm certain that they would love to be able to win another title, and that all along there would be references and tributes to Kobe. And certainly if they ended up getting back to the NBA Finals and were hosting games there at Staples Center, his presence would be felt in a really powerful way. I don't know that they need any extra motivation, but sometimes, because sports have the power to heal, because they bring people together to do extraordinary things that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise on their own. We see this a lot in sports, whether it's after natural disasters, tragedies. Thinking of the Boston Marathon bombing and what the Red Sox did after that. So I don't know that it's necessary, but I do know that if the Lakers make a deep run, there will be even more of a Kobe presence and a Kobe type of a shadow is the wrong word, but just Kobe being part of that. There's no doubt the Lakers would make sure that he was remembered in their run.
The one final note I'd like to say is how, besides the girls' basketball, how much he was a champion for, but how many NBA players he impacted, not just because they grew up with him, but how many guys he worked with behind the scenes, because Kobe really wasn't public about it. But you go down the list of all the guys he helped, from Harden to even a guy like Kawhi, who nobody knew anything about, how many guys he worked with in the offseason. So you could tell how touched he was. And then just post basketball, you know, working in entertainment and how successful he was in the business world. So Kobe, you can think of an athlete who throughout his career was kind of a villain, but to make the transition like he did post-basketball into great other aspects of not only basketball with the women's basketball, but in entertainment and business, I really can't think of anybody. Jordan's on another level, but he was more of a private figure. I'll take your thoughts on that. Thanks for the time.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much. Good to hear from you from Miami. It was hard to hear Mike there at the end, but yes, it was obvious that something changed in Kobe toward the end of his career, and he became committed to sharing his wisdom and experience and passing that on. And no doubt it gave him a way to remain connected, to still be part of the basketball world. Even though he wasn't a common presence inside Staples Center, he was there every now and then. He would go to games with his daughters, his family. But the way that he, as Mike pointed out, that he worked out with so many different players, the way that he wanted to share the tricks of the trade, so to speak. I mean, that's obvious and certainly not something he was doing when he was playing for obvious reasons, but also because he was so competitive. But there was a softer, gentler Kobe Bryant that we saw over the last, say, six, seven years that I think is, I'm sure I'm not the only one that really changed how I viewed him. It was so much more than basketball, and yet that was his platform. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Why don't you hear the story from Rob Pelinka about the morning of the helicopter crash? I had not heard this. We just asked our Lakers insider whether or not he had heard. Rob Pelinka, of course, the former agent who now works as the general manager for the Los Angeles Lakers, and he was Kobe's agent, and so their relationship stretches back.
Do you remember where you were on that foggy, sunless morning of January 26 when the axis of the world seemed to shift forever for all of us. I was in Sunday church with my family. My phone was deep in the pocket of my jeans when I felt the familiar text buzz. For a second, I ignored the notification because I was in church. But for some reason, with this text, I felt a sudden urge to check my phone. I slipped it out of my jeans and discovered the text was from Kobe. There was nothing uncharacteristic or unfamiliar about this. For the last two decades, Kobe and I talked or texted every single day, because that's what best friends do. In that moment, my instincts were to put the phone down and get back to the preacher's sermon, but a gentle, otherworldly nudge compelled me to open the text, so I did. I quickly saw that Kobe was asking me if I happened to know a certain baseball agent based in Southern California. Since Kobe's question didn't have any urgency to do it, I decided I'd wait until after church to respond. But then again, there was a gentle nudge. I grabbed my phone and texted Kobe back that I had seen the baseball agent at a Lakers game just the other night and was happy to help him with whatever he wanted. It was now just past 9:30. Kobe texts back explaining his desire to help a friend of his secure a baseball agency internship for one of his young daughters. Kobe vouched for the girl's character, intellect, and work ethic. He clearly wanted to champion a bright future for her. I text Kobe right back and said I would put a plan in motion to help him get that done. A handful of minutes later, Kobe and Gianna and seven other beautiful souls ascended into heaven. Kobe had been texting me from the helicopter. The girl in that text chain that he was wanting to help so badly was Lexi Altobelli, the surviving daughter of Coach John Altobelli, who was also on the helicopters. Kobe's last human act was heroic.
Incredible story, right? From Rob Pelinka. It's maybe the last person to hear from Kobe Bryant before the helicopter crashed. And he was, even then, trying to make connections for a daughter of a friend and an agent and wanting to put them together so that he could assist where maybe Lexi wouldn't have been able to have that connection otherwise. That blew me away to hear that from Rob Pelinka, which is why I asked Kyle when he joined us last hour whether or not he had heard that story before. Can you imagine being in Rob's shoes? So thankful that you pulled out your phone in church to have a quick conversation with him, even though it could have waited because they talked all the time. What a gift. I mean, what a blessing that must be for him. So that really impacted me as well, hearing Pelinka talk about that morning. I appreciate those of you who are weighing in on our Facebook page, as well as those of you who are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I won't spend the whole show on the Kobe Bryant Memorial, but the audio is so powerful, and that's what I do here on the show. I give you the audio, the sounds, the picture without needing the picture. And certainly if you watch the memorial, you'll have your own impressions and you'll have the benefit of seeing the reactions of many of those inside the basketball community, as well as the fans. But as I listen back to it, it's just as powerful to me. And I guess it's part of me because I'm a radio junkie, but just as powerful to me to sit and to listen. And you can hear the emotion, obviously, in their voices. So I wanted you to hear from Vanessa Bryant on Gigi, and then Sabrina Ionescu, who, like James Harden, had to leave Staples Center and go play a basketball game on Monday evening. So she, with the Oregon women, had a game hours later. Same thing for James Harden and the Houston Rockets. A game hours later. So he had to get on a plane and go from Los Angeles to Houston and be ready to play. Thanks so much for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Russell with seven on the clock. Gives it back to Kobe. Fakes a three. Now takes a three and hits it. Kobe has 21 points in 14 minutes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Ireland, still the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers, a game that was late in Kobe Bryant's career in 2016. And the people who knew him best were painting vivid pictures of the man he was on and off the basketball court on Monday morning at Staples Center. From Michael Jordan to Shaquille O'Neal to Rob Pelinka to Gino Auriemma, who made people laugh with his story about talking coaching strategies for his daughter's team with Kobe, and Gino saying, relax, Kobe, they're 13-year-olds. And then Diana Taurasi and Oregon superstar Sabrina Ionescu, who then had to turn around and play in a game hours later. And wouldn't you know, she made basketball history. Sabrina becoming the first ever college basketball player, men's or women's, to amass 2,000 points in her college career, along with 1,000 rebounds and 1,000 assists. And get this, she also had her 26th triple-double. Oregon point guard Sabrina Ionescu. And she spoke at the memorial service in the morning. So she wasn't just there, but she actually spoke before flying back to the Bay Area to tip off against Stanford. She ended up with 21 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. And to top it off, though you wouldn't have known it from how she looked on stage, how she carried herself, how she spoke, she's also battling the flu. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage.
A year ago, my team, Oregon, was playing at USC. The morning of the game, our coaches told us that there was a surprise for the day. I was thinking Nike sent us some new shoes or swag or something. The game starts, and shortly after, Kobe walks in with his daughter, Gianna, and two of her teammates. They sat courtside while my jaw sat dropped. They watched the entire game, and that was the first time I met Kobe. Kobe, Gigi, and her teammates came into the locker room after the game. He congratulated us on the win that day in our season up to that point, but said, and I'll never forget, don't shoot yourselves in the foot. He meant don't settle, to keep grinding. Control what you can. The national championship wasn't far, and our goal was to win it all. I remember Gigi, excited and smiling in the locker room. I'd always watch a ton of film of her playing basketball. She had a fadeaway better than mine. I asked her where she wanted to play ball in college, and she said UConn. She had the will and determination to be able to play wherever she wanted, and if she wanted to go there, I wanted her there as well. She and her teammates hung out with us for a while, starstruck and a little shy, but always observing. Whichever school she would come to choose, it didn't matter. If I represented the present of the women's game, Gigi was the future, and Kobe knew it. I remember one time someone grabbed her jersey and she sort of just knocked him down and then stepped right over him. Me and Kobe looked at each other, smiling, and he goes, I don't know where she learned that from. I laughed and said, I do. You can't teach that, and definitely not at her age. Kobe was right. She had it. I love watching how hard she worked and how much her teammates loved her, but also her own desire to be great. She always wanted to learn, to go to every game she could. College, NBA, WNBA, Kobe was helping with that because he saw it in her, just like he saw it in me. His vision for others is always bigger than what they imagine for themselves. His vision for me was way bigger than my own. More importantly, he didn't just show up in my life and leave. He stayed.
And she goes on to talk about the other conversations that she had with Kobe as she would have another triple-double. He would send her a text and either congratulate her or tease her. And It's worth noting, as many people have on social media, that her 26th triple-double comes on the date of the memorial, sure, but also adding the numbers 2 and 24 together. And numerology is not my specialty, but a lot of people have seen these combinations of Kobe's uniform numbers, or Kobe and Gianna and their uniforms put together. And certainly the memorial was chosen specifically because it fell on 2/24, a month after the helicopter crash and weeks after they were buried in a private service on Kobe's property, so on the estate. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we won't spend the whole show on the memorial service, but it's powerful and it's inspirational and it's moving. And as much as any one particular event can, Kobe's death and the helicopter crash brought sports to a grinding halt. And as they were starting to round into their regular rhythm, the memorial service brought them to a halt again, and not in a bad way. Positive, genuine, sincere, cathartic for sure. I'm so grateful that Vanessa Bryant took the stage and told her stories. And even before we get to the bottom of the hour, I want you to hear what she had to say, not about Kobe, but about her daughter, Gianna.
Gianna Bryant is an amazingly sweet and gentle soul. She was always thoughtful. She always kissed me goodnight and kissed me good morning. There were a few occasions where I was absolutely tired from being up with Bianca and Capri, and I thought she had left to school without saying goodbye. I text and say, no kiss, and Gianna would reply with, Mama, I kissed you, but you were asleep, and I didn't want to wake you. She knew how much her morning and evening kisses meant to me, and she was so thoughtful to remember to kiss me every day. She was Daddy's girl, but I know she loved her mama, and she would always tell me and show me how much she loved me. She was one of my very best friends. Gigi would have most likely become the best player in the WNBA. She would have made a huge difference. She would have made a huge difference for women's basketball. Gigi was motivated to change the way everyone viewed women in sports. She wrote papers in school defending women and wrote about how the unequal pay difference for the NBA and WNBA leagues wasn't fair. And I truly feel she made positive changes for the WNBA players now, since they knew Gigi's goal was to eventually play in the WNBA. I cannot imagine life without her.
Part of Vanessa Bryant's comments about her 13-year-old daughter. She started out by talking about Gigi's smile that was like sunshine. How she was full of fire, but she was tender, and she was sweet, and she was loving. On that border between being a girl and being a young woman. And she also got some laughs as she talked about how at her own school, she reached out to the boys' basketball coach and offered to give the boys' players some pointers that she'd learned from her dad. So she had elements of both her parents, obviously. And she also talked about, and I wrote some of these down because I thought they were really cool. She talked about the family traditions that Gianna loved. Their game nights, watching Survivor with her dad, baking. So she had made this incredible cake for Kobe's 41st birthday, but she also made chocolate chip cookies. When they would go on vacations and they would have TV nights, that she was confident without being arrogant. She was a leader. She was a president and an officer of a couple of different clubs at her school. And she was energetic and she was athletic. Those things we could see about her whenever she was out and about. and she wanted more equality for women in sports. Again, I'm really thankful that Vanessa spoke because we learned a lot about her, her family, Kobe, and Gigi in her stories. And her talking about Gigi is when I cried the hardest. It's always hard to lose someone that you love, but a 13-year-old, and there were multiple 13-year-olds on that helicopter. Thanks so much for tuning into our show. I appreciate some of you who are weighing in on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Pat says, I am a dad of four beautiful daughters, a girl dad. These past 4 weeks, we've all learned more about Kobe, who is my oldest daughter's favorite player. It has raised my own self-awareness to compete to be the very best girl dad I can be. So sad and yet so inspiring. Jared says it was a great tribute to Kobe and Gigi. Vanessa was so strong and all the speakers gave great stories. It was a wonderful way to say goodbye. I appreciate those of you who are replying with your own comments about what you saw on Monday and also on our Facebook page. It helps me to read them, so thank you for sending them. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back to Rockets come. Here's Hard. Euro stepping on Barrett. Turn back in the middle of the lane. Now looks to reload left to right through the lane. Got fouled. Get in there. Yes! And one made up for his last miss.
It was everything. Just pay my respects. Pay my, show my condolences to the family. Obviously, it's a tough time for them, for the entire world. So it was a must that I be there and kind of show my respects.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of James Harden, who hours after attending the memorial service for Kobe Bryant and his daughter at Staples Center, had to tip off with the Houston Rockets. And like many of the NBA players who were inside Staples, he was wearing sunglasses, dark sunglasses, and was very emotional. Same thing with Russell Westbrook, who was there but did not play Monday evening. And so that type of emotion is hard to shed in a couple hours in a plane flight, even though it's been a month since Kobe died and even though it's been a month of trying to process in the tributes. As we talked about on Sunday night into Monday morning here on the show, this was going to bring it right back into the forefront, and it certainly did. And it feels heavy even for me. I didn't know Kobe personally. I've only watched from afar for the course of his career, and then seeing the little bits that we did once he retired from the game. But I've really enjoyed hearing the stories from people who kind of give us a peek behind the curtain of who he was away from the spotlight. I really loved the story from Vanessa Bryant where she was talking about how he always knew if she was late to a game. And so she would sneak in during the first quarter, or she'd walk to her seats during the first quarter. But if she wasn't there, Kobe would start asking the security guard, you know, where is she? And have you seen her? Is she around? And I guess at times he would even, I don't think she said he texted her, but that he would ask her when she got there, where were you? And she would respond and say, relax, babe, you're not going to score 81 in the first 10 minutes of the game. And so you could see they were a good match for one another, considering that she had the sarcasm and the fire to give it right back to him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks again for sharing your tweets, A-Law Radio, and also your posts on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Anthony says it was emotional, especially Michael Jordan's speech, and funny when Shaq made his speech. Yeah, I believe it was a good mix. Exactly what you would want if your life was to be remembered. I guess I shouldn't speak for you. I'll speak for me. I would want my life to be remembered in a way that was impactful, to be sure. And I would want people to be sorry that I was gone, but you also want people to remember the positive things about your life and the way that you the way that you gave what you had to make the people around you happier and more fulfilled, but also the way that you took the skills and the talents and abilities that you had and you impacted, whether it be people or circumstances, when you had the opportunities. And so, yeah, I started out talking about me and then that turned into a you again. But you know what I mean? The idea that that we can have such an impact, we don't always get to know. And that was something that I really thought about as I was listening to the speeches and watching the reactions inside Staples Center. We don't always get to know where we impact people, but it doesn't mean it's not making a difference. Sometimes we have no idea what a kind word or an encouragement or a help when someone needs it or is in trouble, even if it's a stranger. We don't always know what an impression that makes on people around us. And so I hope that Kobe knew at least part of the impact he made in the basketball community, but more importantly, outside of it. And it made me want to let those people know in my life who've impacted me that they've made a difference, that they've influenced me in some way that I won't forget. So that was some inspiration that I took away from what I saw on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, Rockets Radio Network, and then James Harden after the game. Our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It is easy. I remember, actually, when there have been various tragedies, just really awful, painful tragedies that have happened over the course of my career that I, you know, had to talk about in some way when I was working, whether it be here at my previous network. And there really is no easy way to transition into sports or a sports topic. And I know in this case, Kobe's passing, the helicopter crash was a month ago, but it's still very moving, very powerful to see the tributes. And also, I'm not sure if you saw the news, but Vanessa Bryant has sued the helicopter manufacturer as well as the estate of the pilot who was also in the crash. And so that's going to be something that we'll hear about moving forward. Now, there weren't any comments much outside of the paperwork that was filed, but it was actually happening even as the memorial service was going on. And so there's going to be another side of this. There's no real way to move on, to move past it. And I've said to you before various times over the past 7 years that it always feels awkward to me. It feels like sports don't matter. And yet I know that a lot of you and me sometimes too need that distraction, need that kind of escape from what was, you know, a real emotional morning or afternoon, depending on when you were watching. So I'm going to transition into some other sports stories. And so I got to find the other side of my brain, because my enthusiasm is not quite what it normally is for the rest of the world of sports. That the combine is now underway in Indianapolis, but even as the combine itself gets a lot of attention, more than it did, you know, 10 years ago, more than it did. It's kind of funny to talk to people about the combine who've covered it maybe for the life of it. So I have a friend who's been going now for 15 years in her capacity as an agent. And she just talks about how it used to be so small and nobody used to be there. And there certainly weren't TV cameras and all this focus. And now there's a lot of extra pressure. But it's not just about the combine and the players this week, though I believe coming up on Tuesday, there are going to be press conferences with Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, as well as there's one other quarterback. Jacob Hester? Oh, sorry. Justin, I don't know where I got that other name from. Justin Herbert. Thank you, Chris. Don't ask me where I got that other name from. Like I said, my brain is a little bit mushed. But there are supposed to be press conferences coming up, and there was some talk about how large Joe Burrow's hands are. The combine is not something that I find particularly interesting, but I know there are a lot of people in football who are fascinated by the process. And, you know, I'm not going to watch any of it, but we'll maybe talk about some of the big storylines. But it's actually sharing the spotlight, the center ring of the circus this week with these meetings that are taking place and the potential for a vote about the new collective bargaining agreement. So I'm not sure if you saw this, but there's actually going to be a big meeting coming up on Tuesday. Don't know exactly how many NFL owners will be in attendance or how many players will be there, but the idea is now to kind of push this CBA forward. At least that's the idea of the owners. Judging by the reaction that's so mixed regarding the new labor deal proposal that the owners have put out there and they're asking for a vote, I think there's likely to be some pushback. Now, that can all change if the NFL offers something that the players can't pass up, so make it so worth their while, whether it's financially or other concessions that they can't pass up. The owners certainly have it well within their means to be able to do so, right? I mean, that these owners, not only are they getting more than 50% of the revenue that they're splitting among just 32 teams, but they also have a pretty tight process for moving things along when they want to. It's different than the players and the Players Association, where there are thousands of them who have to vote. And there's a process that they have to go through, right? They have to first get the recommendation of the executive council. Then the team reps have to vote. As long as the team reps get a two-thirds majority, two-thirds, it's not just a simple majority, then they would pass it along to the full membership, which is thousands of players, and they get to vote. And so there's a multi-step process when it comes to ratifying any type of agreement or approving any type of change. The owners are much more efficient, mostly because there are fewer of them, but also because at this point, they're of one accord, right? They're in agreement, maybe not unanimous, but they know this is best for them moving forward over the next 10 years. They feel like they've given up concessions. They've given up things that the players want. And I've even seen the report that they don't believe they need the permission of the Players Association to alter the playoff format. So they're willing to push that through without getting any approval from the players. That's the deal, is the NFL's got it down to a science. The owners have it down to a science. And they've already voted. And according to reports, they're not willing to renegotiate. Maybe that will change based on what happens Tuesday. So if the players dig in their heels a bit, if the players decide we're not going to vote until we get some of these concessions, but because there's so many interests represented by the Players Association, that's difficult, right? Because you've got superstars, guys who make $35 million a year, and then you've got rank and file. The average NFL career doesn't even last four seasons. And so some of these players, the majority of players, are trying to get whatever they can and are willing to jump at a deal that gives them a greater piece of the pie. So really important meeting coming up on Tuesday in Indianapolis, and maybe we'll have some kind of information by this time tomorrow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.